Welcome to the Paid Podcast. This is Brian Tag Sontag. And make note of this, it's not my first or last threesome. Comedian Mark Bonto joins me in a conversation with comedian Bruce Baum. Enjoy. Bruce.
Jai. Bruce, how are you? Pretty good, but how are you? I'm doing great. Great. I'm thrilled that you're able to do this with us. That's great.
Well, what can I say? I'm ready.
You're ready. Well, good. So how's your morning been going?
It's been going great. I'm up early. Yeah. I write tomorrow's jokes today.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Are we on now?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, I get up early every day. I got a new dog, so I take her out to the park in the morning. You know, the dog of my life, I had to put on the Rainbow Bridge about 4 months ago, and I never thought I'd get another dog. It was a Border Collie. And when I realized I was never going to get over him, I went out and started looking. I got this phenomenal Border Collie at the shelter, if you can believe that. It's almost like my old dog led me to her. But it's a Border Collie. She's as sweet as can be. So I'm in dog heaven right now.
Oh, those are great. Wow. Those are great dogs, yeah. The Border Collies, yeah.
She talks. She tells me what she wants to play. It's very high-pitched. It'd be very annoying in a restaurant.
I had a dog
a while ago. It was half pit bull. It was half pit bull and half poodle. And it wouldn't attack, but it spread really vicious rumors.
Does your new dog write jokes? Or?
She inspires them. She inspires them. I also, when I was looking for her, I almost got a bulldog. But, you know, they're very expensive. But you can save money on a bulldog for those people who want. But you can just buy a beagle and drop it on its face.
Same thing. There's no then that would be a little cheaper, and you get the same result, right?
Exactly. It's a win-win for everyone.
That's awesome.
Oh, hey Bruce, how'd you get started in comedy, dude? What was your inspiration?
It was football got me into comedy. I played freshman football as a freshman at UCLA.
Really?
I was a guard. I was the smallest guy in the Pac-2. Now, back then it was the Pac-8. But I played freshman, and then I transferred to UC Davis because I knew I wasn't going to be a pro. Everybody else on the team went pro. And I just wanted to play. So I went up to Davis. The first week I got up there, I started doing comedy stuff. I would run into the library and blow a horn. I had a partner sometimes, too. My cousin came with me, Ken Esten. We would blow a horn or hit a drum. Everybody would stop. We would do like 2 or 3 minutes of comedy and then run away. And then we would write a letter to the paper saying there's two guys running in, or one guy, whichever one it was, who's running into the library and trying to make us laugh while we're studying. Then the next day we would write a letter that said it was from the health, the hospital up there, saying we're seeing too many people come in with broken cheeks from laughing so hard. So there were no comedy clubs. So whenever there was a captive audience, if it was a dining commons or a restaurant, we made noise. We did 2 minutes of stand-up and ran away. And then we started playing the little bars in Davis. And when we graduated, we came down here. We started working out at little places that didn't even have comedy. And eventually got a gig at the Ice House before it went all comedy. We opened up for Scatman Crothers.
Oh, yeah, I remember him, yeah.
Some people may have to Google that, but he was in, The Shining, you know. But he was also a big singer from back in the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I met my wife at that gig, and she wasn't my wife then. And so that's kind of how I got started. And then my partner and I kind of went our own ways. He went into writing, was very successful. And I started doing a show called Make Me Laugh, which really is, I believe, the show that started the comedy boom.
I remember that show.
You would be on from Monday through Friday, and you'd be on for 5 days, and at that time there weren't many clubs, and they kind of started with just booking the guys for Make Me Laugh. So you could, we would shoot 2 or 3 weeks in advance, so you could say, I'm going to be at the Cleveland Comedy Club, I'm going to be at Mark Wrigley's Comedy Castle, and you'd be sold out before you got to town. And the reason I say it started the boom is until Make Me Laugh, if you did one of the talk shows, Tonight Show, Merv Griffin, some of you may have to Google some of these, you know, Mike Douglas, if you were on and you scored, people would go into work the next day and say, hey, did you see the Tonight Show last night? And people would go, no, I missed it. Well, you'd have to wait a couple months to see them. With Make Me Laugh, if someone said at work, hey, did you see that guy on Make Me Laugh? No, I missed it. Well, he's on again tonight. And if you were good, the ratings would build Monday through Friday. So it was a chance for clubs to book someone that could promote them. And that's why Ohio and Michigan were really outside of the coasts that had comedy clubs. And they started bringing in the guys doing Make Me Laugh. There was about 8 of us that were regulars. It was Howie Mandel, Gallagher, Kippadada, Saget, Channeling. And we just kind of coming back every, like, 8 weeks. It really made you write a lot of material. You were writing a lot anyway because Make Me Laugh was eating up all sorts of stuff. For those of you that don't know, Make Me Laugh was a show where a contestant or a celebrity would come out, and 3 comics had 60 seconds each to make that person laugh. Mm-hmm. They got $1 for each second, and they doubled it if they went the whole 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I went up against Frank Zappa, so that was pretty cool. And
oh, that had to be. That had to be.
Yeah.
Well, it really propels you as well. I mean, when I started in the late 70s, you guys were, from Make Me Laugh, were like big celebrities to me. So I got to open for all you guys when you came up this way, and when I met you and Mike Binder and all these guys that I'd seen on Make Me Laugh, I thought, well, wow, these are really, and Vic Dunlop, and it's like in person. So by then, you were really getting out there by doing that show.
Yeah, that was the show that kind of, and then all the networks, you know, back then cable kind of exploded. And everybody had a comedy show, you know. It was really cheap. And it kind of like there was a comedy, you know, fall off for a while because people were opening clubs and filling it with guys that weren't ready yet. And then there was kind of a thinning of the herd, kind of where we're at today. And now there's enough comics to fill the clubs, I believe. But, yeah, you know, Binder became a very successful director. I don't know if you followed his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new book out called Keep Calm. It's a thriller. And it is really good. So
I got to check that out. Yeah.
I very seldom finish a book. I'm embarrassed to say that. You know, I'll read it halfway through. And
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. But this one is a thriller, and you will not put this one down. You'll finish it.
So is it about? Is there comedy in it, or is it just a thriller?
No, it's really a departure for Mike. It's a thriller. You know, but a very good one. A lot of twists and turns. You'll enjoy it. It'd make a great movie. You know, he directed the last few Kevin Costner movies. You know, he's been very successful, a very good director. It's a great book, though. So I know it's my spot, but let me at least recommend Mike Binder's book.
Okay. Hey, I'll allow you that.
I've got a book, too. You can
go
online.
I was just about to ask you that. You talked about Binder's book. What book do you have?
Well, I've got several. The one I have up that's the most recent is On Hold. It's a book that I wrote only when I was on hold on the phone, because I used to get so pissed off being on hold that I had to turn that negative energy into something. So I started writing stories, fairy tales, fairy-less tales where there's no fairies at all. And then I wrote little things that I was just thinking of, things like, shouldn't fencing be called stabbing? People would watch more. And I think one of them was, I believe the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what happens if you get beat up by a blind, toothless guy? You just rip off one of his cheeks and call it even. But it was pretty much just stuff that I wrote on my own. Now, before that, and there's a bit of a beef about this, I don't know if you're familiar with the books Letters from a Nut. They were very successful books. I wrote with a comic named Barry Martyr. We wrote it under a pen named Ted Nancy, and it's letters we wrote
to corporations and people with ridiculous ideas. Things like the Los Angeles Lakers. We called and said, I have a medical condition. We wrote and said, well, medical condition requires my rear end is exposed at all times. Can I come to a game? I'll cover it with Saran wrap. And they actually wrote back. So we've had but the problem is Jerry Seinfeld and Barry went on television and said that Barry wrote the whole book, and that's not true.
Right.
And I've put a couple things on that show the contracts and everything else. So if there anybody has a discrepancy about that, I am the co-author of Letters from a Nut.
And you heard it here on the PA podcast.
There you go. And but I don't want that to detract from how funny the books are. They're, you know, the first one sold over 500,000 in hardcover.
Wow.
It's very, very funny. There's letters to Vegas casinos asking if I can bring my own vending machine, whether I can gamble in my lobster costume, other things to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the baseball, saying that I've got a complete set of Mickey Mantle toenails. So.
Oh, you're not. That was funny. Now, Bruce, is it? I've heard a rumor on the internet, and I need you to verify this. Are you actually David Crosby's love child?
Well, we're both familiar with Melissa Etheridge. I'll tell you that. I've actually given my sperm to a woman who looks like Melissa Etheridge, so we could have a baby that looks like their baby.
Okay.
There were nights when, he couldn't go out for either legal or medical reasons, and we went out as Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Baum.
But you had that in your set for a while. I mean, nowadays, I mean, do as many people know who that is, and can you get away with still making that analogy?
Yeah, I think they're pretty big, especially, as a matter of fact, and we'll talk about this in a minute, I have a new website, but on my YouTube channel, I've got a piece called David Crosby Gone Wild, and it's me as David Crosby stealing people's points, pulling down their pants, stealing their car, trying to impregnate him with a baster and sperm, but I have a new website with all new stuff on it, and that's called laugharoo.com.
Yeah.
LAUGHAROO.com, and it's all new. Matter of fact, this week we've got sketches with Maria Bamford, John Ennis, and Steve White, and there'll
hilarious.
Be a new show on the. I don't know when this is airing or whether you're listening to it after or in 2 years from now, but we've got a lot of great people on every week. Last week was the debut.
Yeah.
If I may. May I? I think I just did.
I think you just did. And I watched it too, and I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, same with me. Hopefully it continues and it grows and it gets a lot of viewers. At laugharoo.com?
Right.
Laugharoo.com.
We got lots of stuff. I've got stuff with Gary Shandling. I've got stuff with George Carlin. I've got stuff with Robin Williams. So that'll be down the road a little, but I don't want to make it look like I'm trying to cash in on their names.
Well.
Right. Well, you just
spread. But later on, I'll cash in on their names.
you're just spreading the joy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Spreading the joy.
I just try to be a guy. Anything extra is gravy.
Yeah, that's right. Just spread the joy and laughter. You know.
Exactly.
Oh, geez. So now you did some. What did you like doing best? You did some prop comedy when you started. Yeah, some prop comedy, and then you did regular stand-up. Which did you prefer?
Well, I like both, and I do both now. I kind of try to do the show that I would want to see. Someone once called it a three-ring circus with a mustache, and then he ran away. I enjoy both. I really enjoy doing stand-up, and I really enjoy doing props, so I kind of mix it together. I go back. When I started out, it was almost all props. So, between the airlines and everybody changing soundmen every night, it got a little bit – I had to deal with every kind of screw-up that could be made. But now I've got it, so I do both. So people that go, hey, where's the props? I got those. And then I got the stand-up, which I also enjoy doing. So it's a veritable buffet of laughter you can pick and choose.
buffet. Now, did Carrot Top actually thank you for giving him props, or
he probably owes more than just me thanks.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I don't want to be smirching.
No, yeah.
I'm not a besmircher.
I always hear he's a nice guy, and he gets ragged, but hey, the dude's doing okay. Let him be, you know.
He's having people, and he's having fun, and he's making people laugh. So
exactly,
what, you know.
Yeah. It's like get over it, people. You know, just you know, and I find that odd, and well, in, you know, in entertainment and whatever, you know, it's like. You know, somebody makes it bigger than you and they start ragging on them. It's like, hey, just enjoy it. Hey, just give them props, you know, and just say, hey,
yeah.
Good for you.
We all measure success differently. You know, you know this. It's a roller coaster ride. And I've come to the conclusion that happy is where it's at. So as long as you're happy, you know. Generations are – that's the other thing is generations are so quick now. A generation used to be 7 to 10 years. You kind of knew everything that happened 7 years behind you. Now it's like 2 or 3 years. Everybody is like, you know, anything that happened 4 years ago, a lot of people have no memory of it all. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. Now you've been in, you've had some involvement in movies. What's your best experience with that? I know you, were you a writer on Shakes the Clown?
No, I was in Shakes the Clown.
You were in it. Yeah, okay.
I was in it. I was Ty, the mean rodeo clown. if you saw the movie, I was the one that stuffed cocaine. Not that I don't ever do it, but I stuffed it into my red nose and then stuck the nose on me, so I had it at all times. but yeah, that was a great film. You know, it was Adam Sandler's first film. That film was loaded. I've had people come up to me. It was either their least favorite film of all time or their most favorite film. It had Robin Williams. It had Blake Clark. It had Tom Kenny, who became the voice of SpongeBob.
Right.
Adam Sandler's first film. Bobcat was in it. Jeremy Kramer. Jack Gallagher. Yeah, it's a veritable comedy archaeological dig.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, how was it working with Bobcat?
He's great. He gives he gives you a script and says, but play with, if you want to play, play. So he's
he seems cool. Yeah.
He is. He should be directing more. He should be doing more films.
Cool.
You mentioned Tom Kenny being the voice of SpongeBob. Now you had an animated. Part of voice over for playing yourself per se. Can you expound on that a little bit? Or do you remember that? Was it The Simpsons you were?
Yeah. I got. I was on The Simpsons as myself, which is
that's hilarious.
That actually validated me with my family. Up until then, okay.
How did that come up?
I got to be on. They called. My agent called and said, you know, they'd like you to be on The Simpsons. It's a comedy festival. Jay Leno's going to do it, and Bobcat, and Janine Garofalo, and Stephen Wright. And I said, well, where do I go to audition? He says, not an audition. They offered it. And I go, then take it. I don't care what they're paying.
Right.
So I went in. I did it. It was great. It was, you know, it was the last temptation of Krusty. and he kind of went from being a clown to a George Carlin type of comedian. And kind of sold out and then kind of came back again. But it was a blast. The best thing I got, they gave me a killer leather Simpsons jacket. So
wow, okay.
And people still, it's amazing some of these shows where people, you know, if they're a Simpson fanatic, they remember that. This week I was golfing, and I'm not dropping names here, Bob Saget and Dave Coulier and I, we're out golfing, and Bob put on Snapchat the three of us, and some girl, you know, wrote back, is that the, talking about me, is that the guy that was in the poker scene smoking a cigar on that episode? I mean, Criminy Pete, I can't believe anybody would, I was on three episodes and just, you know, not really big parts. These people know what episode everybody's on. So,
wow.
So I guess in that respect, you live on a little bit.
Wow.
But I'm known as a card-playing cigar smoker.
Well, there you go. Oh. So besides Laugh-A-Roo, what else do you have going on? And you got any more writing?
I'm in a movie right now we're shooting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know how much I can talk about it. It's a mockumentary, and I'm in it. It's I wonder how much I can tell about it, because I know it's a little bit secret. It's a mockumentary about a big phenomenon that happened in the 1980s and early 90s, which is made up. And the head of this phenomenon just disappeared, and I was their manager, and we're in search of this person to get him in the Hall of Fame of this particular thing. And if that's not a big enough tease with a question mark, I don't know what is.
Oh, that you just teased me, dude.
Right.
I'll be looking for that.
Yeah.
As soon as they give me this podcast, I'll be looking for it too.
Yeah. As soon as I get the green light that I can talk about it,
hey, we'll
I'll give you guys a call back and give
you
an update.
Yeah, we can have you back on, and you can promote that as well. And
I'll bring on some of the other actors. There's a lot of comics in it.
Oh,
Barry Stoll's in it. Lang Parker. So. Yeah, we'll come on and have a little laugh fest.
Oh,
that sounds great. Yeah,
oh, let's do it.
We'll have I'll bring the cast over. We'll have a whole cast podcast. So it'll be a podcast cast.
A cast. Oh, now I'm going to have to Google how to spell that.
Right.
Oh, geez. Well, great. Hey, I have an aside question for you. I've for the last 3.5 years, I've grown my hair out, and and it's down below my shoulder blades. Do you have any tips for hair care?
Don't wash it.
Just wash it.
Don't wash it.
Don't wash it.
Just rinse it with water, otherwise it comes out. Did you have a full head of hair?
What's that?
Do you have a full head?
Pretty much. A little losing a little bit on the front, but pretty much full. Well, you see,
I've got long hair, but not everywhere. So on the average, I have a full head of hair.
Yeah.
actually, I wear spray-on scalp. I do have a full head of hair.
you could do a great comb over.
Oh, that would be terrible. I will not do that.
Well, then you could spray it orange.
And run for president.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But I guess you can wash it. I do wash mine. You know, I used to wash it every day, but I would always have a clump of hair on my hands. So I rinse it and I wash it maybe once a week, and I just make sure that it's, you know, that it stays in my head.
Yeah, there you go. You're working the lesser of two evils, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, geez.
Well, those guys that wear those the braids, you know, they don't wash it at all. So those things stay in forever.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. I see these guys with it. I'm going, how can you wash that? I guess you can't. You just let it, you know.
I've tried when I was in Key West and I was in Jamaica. I tried to get them to braid my mustache. I figured it'd be cool to not have a braided hair, but to have a braided mustache, and nobody would touch it. So I'm still looking for the woman who will braid my stash.
We don't do that, man. We don't do that, man.
I need to find
a
woman.
You've always had your mustache. You've never really shaved that off, so it's part of you.
Yeah, no, I've had it since I stopped playing football. They wouldn't let us have mustache. I had one in high school, had to shave it off for football in college, and then I grew it again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've had this mustache since about 71. I don't know if it's the exact same hair, but...
yeah, I've had my beard since I was, like, in my early 20s, and I'm pushing 60, so...
Oh.
I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
Well, there might be a couple in there that were there at the start.
Yeah.
Hey, might have a couple of rookie hairs still hanging on.
Yeah.
You got to search for them, but they're there somewhere.
Oh. Yeah, you just got to call them out.
So are you planning on having an episode every week on, how often do the Laugh-A-Roo episodes come out? Is it weekly, or, and how are you going to fit that in with the movie and all the other stuff you got going?
Yeah, we're going to do it once a week. Well, every Monday we'll load up, and if you go there, you can sign on for the update. Now, the great thing about Laugh-A-Roo.com, if I may, and I think I just will, is no commercials, no pop-ups. Very easy. Everything's on one page. You don't have 1,000 choices. We don't sell the information. When you leave your email, it's just to update you, so you're not tracked. If you come see us, you're not going to have everybody else know you were there and then, you know, pop up on stuff. So it's like a little headcation. My feeling is, if you have nothing to do, check out Laugh-A-Roo, because we're better than nothing.
that's a perfect tag to the site.
Perfect. We'll probably put that up there. We're better than nothing. So, but it's also a great place to take your face. That's the one we're going with now. But we'll put the other one up too.
Okay.
Great.
Oh, I love that. Nothing to do. Go to Laugh-A-Roo.
Now, let me also give you a little bit of advice, because, you know, a lot of guys ask for dating advice and stuff, or women ask, you know. For women, let me just say, you know, you can kind of tell what your man likes in a woman by what a man likes in his pets. For instance, me, I like cats with really big tits.
That would make sense. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Just a little. I want, you know, a little advice. I don't want to just funny trying to get a little tips.
you're just helping mankind. That's, you know, you're doing your part. You're a messenger. You know.
I do my best.
Yeah. Well, that's all we can do, my friend. That's all we can do.
I actually went to get my wife a present at that. At one of those Victoria's Secret places. Have you ever seen, they got musical panties there?
Do they?
Yeah, so I got my wife a pair. Kind of embarrassing, though, because every time she crosses her legs, you hear a muffled version of Drop It Like It's Hot. I guess they were one of the older pair.
Oh, jeez. Oh, great, dude. Oh. Okay. I think we've had a good time here. Do you have a favorite song? Because I always like to put a little song behind my intros and outs.
Oh, well, first of all, my main music is Van Morrison.
Oh, I love Van. Yeah. Which one?
I'm going to see him and Tom Jones in October.
Sweet.
And he's got a new album. Van's got a new album coming out September 30th. I'm a Van Morrison fanatic. So if you want to play Wild Night or Real, Real Gone,
okay.
Behind that, that would be, people that know me know that I'm a Van fan.
Yeah. I think I'll do Wild Night. Yeah.
You can even do Brown Eyed Girl, but, you know.
Well, Brown Eyed Girl is. Yeah,
there's Gloria. I mean, you know, those are the ones everyone knows. I'm more into the more obscure cuts, but those are the ones that people will be tapping their toes and be ready for a podcast.
Yeah. Well, good, dude.
That sounds great.
So appreciate your time. This has been fun. We've had.
Yeah. I hope you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
We did.
We're looking forward to the podcast with the cast as well. So keep us up to date on that.
Yeah, please.
I will. I'll definitely tell the cast. I'll be seeing them in about a few days.
Yeah.
And let me know when this is going to run.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'll. I should get this up this weekend. So,
oh, super.
Because this has been like a flawless. You know, there's very little editing, and I can do those in and outs, and It'll be great. It'll be great.
Super. Great.
All right,
hey,
man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I was going to say thanks so much for your time, but I think so.
Yeah, getting up early and everything on the West Coast, and we appreciate it. I mean, usually you sleep in a little longer, or are you usually an early bird?
I'm up early. I'm up like by 6 o'clock. Yeah, I'd like to sleep in, but I can't. So I do, I get up early, and I come out of a dead sleep and start joking.
Just the way to start your day and everyone else's. Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the way to live life, dude.
Exactly.
All right, man. It's been so fantastic.
Well, thank you, and happy everything to everyone.
Yeah, and have a fantastic day, guy.
Yeah.
You too.
What can I say?
All right, man.
Fun time with our guest, Wes Baum.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Mark Bonto for joining in. Check laugharoo.com and check our other interviews at thepapodcast.com. We leave you in the mystic. Have fun. Be at peace.
Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic.